Welcome to Return with Honor, a Wyvern Nation podcast hosted by the 31st Fighter Wing Commander, Brigadier General Tad Clark. Enjoy the message.
All right, Chief. This is our last podcast that you and I are going to do. So we'd like to welcome our audience to the 31st Fighter Wing Return with Honor podcast. And I have with me my command chief, my wingman, my friend, Chief Master Sergeant Cesar Flores.
Sir.
And we wanted to take a moment and reflect on where we've been, where we are, where we're headed, and just do a little bit of reflection as we prepare to depart Aviano Air Base in the 31st Fighter Wing. We still have a little bit of time left, but nevertheless, we are certainly getting down to the last several weeks. As I was thinking about what we've achieved, Chief, it really, to me, is based off of two words: standards and fundamentals. And I think as we have strived for the highest standards and we try to maximize our mastery of the fundamentals, that's what's allowed us to achieve so much as a wing, as a team. And I really think that's the key to success as we look to the future. But could you elaborate a little bit with the audience of some things that you remember and recall as you reflect on our past, as we've been here now for a couple years, of how standards and fundamentals speak to you and what we've been able to achieve with that?
Yes, sir, absolutely. And I'm gonna steal this from what you recently said, that a lot of us are defined by the one day we're tapped on the shoulder to do something extraordinary for our country, but it's set up by what you're doing the 364 days leading up to it. So here at the 31st Fighter Wing, we've done quite a bit, whether it's deploying on a normal Air Force generation cycle or a quick alert mission that they put us on, usually to Africa, or a area of responsibility near us. Our combat readiness exercises, here most recently, which we crushed, we really got the most bang for our buck with our team as far as training across three spectrums: agile combat deployment, dispersing our team in different countries, ATSO, ability to survive and operate, donning your chem gear and running around with that, and just generating aircraft despite any obstacles that our folks endured. And then some of the most notable exercises that I remember are the certifying events that our Triple Nickel went through before they deployed to Central Command. Nordic response that you and I got to go to with our 57th Rescue Squadron working with the Swedish. And by the way, they were there to celebrate Sweden's onboarding into NATO, which they helped cultivate through the fundamentals earlier before that. And then some of the other things, sir, that our families appreciate too, along with our airmen. We've had the highest promotion rate across USAFE for Master Sergeant and Senior Master Sergeant, despite us being the third largest wing, to be the first Sergeant Council of the Year across USAFE, first time in the 31st Fighter Wing history. That to me is what the standards and the fundamentals result in. But again, it starts with the little things and it leads to the big things.
I agree. There are so many things that this wing has achieved. You know, I've been here now for 3 years. As you mentioned, you know, a couple years ago, Finland was the 31st country to be admitted to NATO. And then last year, Sweden became the 32nd country to be entered into NATO. And the relationships we have with those countries is phenomenal. You mentioned the Triple Nickel when they deployed back in 2023, and they did such a remarkable job, they came back and were identified and selected and honored as the USAFE Fighter Squadron of the Year. And then just last year, the Buzzards deployed, and they had four records set and four combat firsts, in which we had 10 decorations to present just yesterday, in fact, of two Distinguished Flying Crosses and 8 single event air medals. It was remarkable. So many accomplishments, and then not to mention how when I first took command, the 606 was still deployed to the eastern flank in response to the Russian invasion in Ukraine in February 2022. So when I arrived here, we actually had units that were deployed and the Buzzards were just coming home. In fact, I took command and a few days later, my wife Jen and I went across the runway to Sierra Loop, where the 510th Fighter Squadron was landing and returning from flying combat patrol missions on the eastern flank in response to that invasion back in February of 22. So from the very beginning to now, and we still have combat units, we have one that's still deployed. I won't mention who and where, but we still have a unit that's deployed. We have a couple units that are preparing to deploy, and it's just remarkable from the beginning to the end here, we have really been called upon by our nation, by our Secretary of Defense, by our Air Force, and certainly by USAFE and UCOM and AFRICOM and CENTCOM to provide combat air power. And it goes back to what you had mentioned, is making sure that we make our training count, we get the most we can out of exercises. But Chief, if I could shift gears a little bit and talk about standards.
Yes.
Now, standards is a buzzword in the Air Force right now, and it's a buzzword in the Department of Defense, but the meaning behind the word standards is so important, and all of our senior leaders in Washington, D.C. have been stressing this for the right reason, and it's to ensure that we are a well-oiled, disciplined military team that has the privilege of serving in the profession of arms. And so getting after the standards is key, it is critical. But one thing I've noticed, I knew about you when I hired you and brought you here, and one thing I've noticed and watched and witnessed as you have continued to be an impactful leader in this wing, Chief, is you truly do inspire members, our team, to pursue the highest standards. And my question for you, if I could, is, How do you balance pursuing the highest standards, but also ensure that we have buy-in, that the team understands and is all in, so that as we strive for the highest standards, we have a motivated team that gets the big picture?
Yes, sir. That is such a layered question, and I will try to be succinct in this while still being impactful. I think number one is modeling the behavior that you want to see in your airmen. Starts with that, right? I tell young leaders, never give an airman a reason to not want to follow you. You got to have all those traits, whether it's fitness, subject matter expertise, which I would offer is the easiest, well, not easiest, the most straightforward attribute that anyone can gain. And regardless of how you present yourself, if you have that, especially in the Air Force where we value subject matter expertise, people will rally around you. We know that from the flying world, where if you have that K code, that instructor or evaluator, that carries a lot of weight in the aircraft, because we know you have to earn that. So modeling behavior is number one. Second is pretty straightforward. You know, I came from AETC, Altos Air Force Base, incredible mission there, student production across three major weapon systems. So getting buy-in for standards is pretty straightforward because it's AETC, it's foundational. Here in a combat wing, standards do matter, let's be clear here. But there's a couple things you have to know. You gotta know the environment, you gotta know the mission set, what the pace of the team is, and you gotta know your audience as well. You can't just go in like a bull in a china shop. I tell people standards is like water, don't be fire. Meaning go in, assess the situation, see what the team is doing, and if they just landed after a 20-hour grueling mission and someone has a patch missing, that is not the time to correct the patch. If anything, recognize and honor the fundamentals and standards that went into executing such mission, that they got their rest and everything else. So to me, it's ordering correctly, knowing your audience, knowing the environment, and again, be water, not fire. A paper cut every day will get people to get buy-in to why these things are important and add context to it on why it's so important. One of the best examples I ever get given was at my previous base, or two bases ago when I was at Mildenhall. We had some airmen that learned how to fix an auxiliary power unit to the point where they drove that 2-hour job down to 15 minutes. And because they knew how to do that, they knew the standard, but they knew how to do it quickly, but still within regs, to have the confidence that that plane took off five times faster, it was not gonna have any kind of in-flight emergencies. That to me is where it matters most, is can you translate not, you know, wearing your hat, having your hair in regs, all these things, and giving us the confidence that you are able to execute such in the aircraft or in your functional skill that we ask you to do.
I like what you said in terms of knowing your audience, and timing is everything. So I appreciate that, and I call that situational awareness. And understanding commander's intent and clearly communicating intent. And so the intent of our senior leaders, from the commander-in-chief to the secretary of defense, to the chief of staff, the Air Force, all the way down here to those of us on the line, commander's intent is clear. We wanna be a team of warfighters that are ready and that we adhere to the highest standards, and for a disciplined team. If there are moments where we see some correction that's needed, understanding where we are in time and space, maybe it's better to address that at a later time. And there's also instances where we'll need to address that right then and there. But having situation awareness is so key.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. You know, sir, you started earlier by saying when you first got here, the 510th was getting back from combat air patrols on the eastern flank. So when you first got here, that's 3 years ago. You're the first Wyvern One to do a 3-year tour, and you're actually the last one-star general in our wing before you handed over to Colonel Deers. So I have to ask, how did you phase your approach from year one to year three?
My first time as a wing commander, of course, was with the 8th Fighter Wing, the Wolfpack at Kunsan, from 2019 to 2020, which was an amazing, extraordinary experience. And anytime you're afforded to be a wing commander, there's no way you would ever think you'd ever be afforded an opportunity to be a wing commander again. Not to mention being a wing commander of the 31st Fighter Wing here in Aviano, and then to be given 3 years of command. So when I was a commander at Kunsan, I wanted to go into that command by building trust with the team, by loving them and caring for them. And like we talk about in this wing, when we say love, we want to lock arms and ensure that we're there with our airmen through the good times and bad, but love is also another word for, another part of that word love is tough love, holding people accountable. And so that's just as important. And people want that, right? It makes them feel like they're part of a team that cares about them and has standards, and there's accountability and ownership. I think that's key to a healthy organization. But my phased approach at Kunsan in 1 year was very compressed, because you only get 1 year to command Kunsan. Here, I walked in with a 2-year plan of building trust with the team the first year, always getting after the mission, but the priority was gonna be on building trust with people so we could build a healthy, collaborative team. The second year was going to be an increased attention on the mission with increased exercises, which we did, seeking opportunities to hone our warfighting skills. And then when I was given a third year, we doubled down on that mission focus. But all the while, we had that first year where we had built trust and had built a family of warfighters. And not a family that's complacent and condones subpar performance and lack of standards, but a family that loves one another, treats each other with respect, but also holds each other accountable and holds each other to the highest standards, which I think fed into the second year and the third year nicely. So I think as I reflect on that approach, I don't think I would have changed that now, knowing what I know now. I think that's paid huge dividends, because we've had to pivot, course correct, implement some changes, pursue some initiatives, and impose a lot of stress on the team for the right reason, deliberately, intentionally. But when we did that, I believe we as a command team had the trust and confidence of our team that they knew that we were doing this for a specific reason. It had purpose. It wasn't to make life difficult or stressful or problematic without purpose. And the purpose, of course, was something that's bigger than ourselves, something that our nation needed us to perform. Certainly our Air Force needed us to deliver. And so I think because we had the trust and it had purpose, we were able to navigate some pretty challenging circumstances and challenges and taskings these last few years with a cohesive team.
Yes, sir. Yeah, trust, mission, and discipline. Right, in the fundamentals. You know, sir, one thing that I've noticed, just being your wingman, you're very good at, whether it's getting after the mission, flying in the jets, strategic to operational to tactical, just going into meetings. And I will give context by giving the example of our first Wyvern welcome with our newcomers. And we went in and you said, Chief, desired end state is we make people feel welcomed, they relax, they understand some of the mission, some of our priorities, and that they're ready to hit the ground running here at Aviano. You've always been really good at two things, providing the why and desired end state. And I think when you do those two things very well, the standards and fundamentals easily follow behind that. And that's maybe an epiphany I had just here talking to you that's obvious, but again, we can go so many directions when we ask those questions, but I would ask that those two really add to that as well.
You know that the only way we can pull that off is if you and I are in sync, the Deputy Wing Commander, Colonel Deers, the three of us, which we call the Iron Triad, we're in sync. We're in sync with the group leadership, both the commanders and the senior enlisted leaders and the squadrons. It really takes a cohesive team. It really is interesting. We sit in my office and I don't have stacks and stacks of books. I actually have Math and Public, about 18 books displayed, and they're displayed on purpose because they all have a very specific message, but the majority of them are focused on communication. And here we are, 2025, we have so many ways to communicate and communicate quickly, but regardless if it was 100 years ago or even today, the value of quality communication where it's clear, it's articulate, it's deliberate, it makes sense, it's open to feedback, but there's clarity there. It's so important, and you can only do that when you build in your schedule and in your priorities opportunities to communicate. Because it's really easy to share specified intent, right? It's what I say, hey, here's the end state, here's what we need to do, that's specified. People can take notes, you can record it, you can write it, it's easy to understand, but implied intent is the tricky part. And you only get implied intent when you have more touch points. And so that relates to making sure that we communicate as a team. And I think we have gone and done a lot of communication together, and we've also gone in different ways and communicated, multitask, and communicated to different groups and teams in the wing, simultaneously, geographically separated from one another, but we're communicating frequently. We're never perfect, we'll never be perfect, but it was certainly a part of our, it was one of our priorities and something that you and I clearly wanted to do together, and I think we've done the best we could, and I think we've achieved what we're hoping to do, and that's making sure people feel informed with the why when we're able to, but they also understand the impact they'll make.
Yes, sir, absolutely. And you know, sir, we talk about all these things when our report card, when it comes to awards or results or the big missions, impacts that we make. But one of the most fulfilling things that we see as leaders is when our wingmen come here, fellow wing commanders or previous wing commanders that come in and pull us aside, meaning you're about to get some real talk, and they say, y'all have a damn good wing here. There's a great culture. People are excited to come to work. There's purpose, there's fulfillment. That to me is the ultimate praise that we can get because we know we're creating a culture where American sons and daughters can thrive.
That has been very powerful. One other example that's very similar is when we had the inspection team here inspecting us when we were in competition for the Commander-in-Chief Installation Excellence Award, which is the award given to the number one Air Force base in the entire United States Air Force. And it came down to us and Mountain Home. So that in of itself was remarkable. And all the members of that team were either command chiefs or group commanders or wing commanders. And before they left, a couple of them pulled us aside and said, hey, we really liked several of the initiatives and programs we had in the wing, and they're going to take that back to their unit. That was a wonderful compliment. And of course, some of those initiatives were birthed before you and I even got here. And then of course, we've tried to build upon that. But it's wonderful when we have a wing that takes pride in what we do, and we try to make each day count with the resources we're afforded and blessed with. And most importantly, we value the men and women that we've been entrusted with.
Yes, sir. I know we're kind of wrapping up here, but based on everything you said, sir, what's your lasting message to the wing as we conclude this tour on 11 July?
It goes back to standards and fundamentals. If we know what the standard is and we hold people accountable, I think everybody desires that. There's maybe some naysayers here and there, small percentile, but I think the caliber and the character of men and women that willingly take the oath of enlistment or oath of commission to enter the United States Air Force, and also I don't want to eliminate our civilian, federal civilians and teammates, because they do the same thing. They're just as committed. Anyone that's dialed in and says, "Hey, I want to be a part of this profession of arms," because that is such a unique cohort and remnant of people, I think there's something in our hearts and in our minds and our souls, deep in our souls, that aspires to high standards, to excellence. And so it's our responsibility as leaders, whether we've been in the Air Force for 20 plus years or if we are frontline supervisors that are brand new staff sergeants that graduated from Airman Leadership School within the last year, and you're a new leader, we owe it to our members to uphold and demonstrate highest standards. And so that's the challenge, to continue to do that. Don't let up. Don't only do this because everybody in Washington, D.C. is talking about it. Do it because it's the right thing to do. My favorite quote is General Paxton. I've said this time and time again. I'm going to say it again because it's my favorite quote. General Paxton, retired 4-star Marine Corps, once said, "Do the right thing and do the thing right." And I love it because that is exactly what standards are all about. And then last but not least is fundamentals. If we take time to try to master our trade craft and achieve subject matter expertise, then when you bring all those subject matter experts together, we're able to execute the mission, because every part and piece matters. I'll actually end on this. So, Chief, yesterday you and I had an opportunity to recognize 9 warfighters that earned distinguished flying crosses and single event air medals. And you alluded to this earlier, but what I mentioned to that group that was there in that ceremony was all those awards were given for a single moment in time. Usually an air medal is achieved after you fly 20 combat missions. But for these, they were single event, meaning it happened at one moment, one mission, one day. And so the analogy was there is, what are we doing the 364 days of the year to prepare for that one day that we can never predict? And I believe it literally comes down to, if we're adhering and pursuing the highest standards and we have done everything we possibly can to master our trade craft with the fundamentals, we will be ready for that one day. And we all need to do that, whether you're the pilot in the jet, which is very tangible and visible, or the thousands of airmen that are behind the scenes in the back shop working 24/7, rain or shine, in any group, maintenance, support, medical group, wing staff agencies, all the parts and pieces that make this machine with all these gears fit together perfectly, what we call a wing. It requires everyone to take that seriously. And so it's been a great honor to lead the wing with you, Chief. I'm very proud of where we are, but we can't let up. And as we look to the future, we need to make sure that the wing continues to prioritize standards and fundamentals.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, as we continue to reflect on this year, I know we're going to have a lot of moments to share our appreciation to the members of this wing, and we'll do that. But I just want to say on this podcast, and Chief, I know you're nodding and agree, we just want to say thank you for the men and women in the 31st Fighter Wing, whether you're here or in our geographically separated units, whether you're deployed or in TDY, we thank you for what you've done. Our airmen, our civilians, and our Italian partners and friends here at Aviano Air Base, it really has been a great honor and highlight of my life.
Thank you for listening to the Return with Honor podcast. If you'd like to learn more about the mission, airmen, and families of Aviano, visit the Aviano Air Base Facebook page. If you enjoyed the podcast, click to subscribe. We'll see you next time.